Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Benyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. There is a court case out in California regarding a student in a high school who believed in creation, and his history teacher was making comments not only that he disagreed with creation, but that it is nonsense, it's superstitious nonsense to believe in a creator God, and that real scientists do real science, and that creationists are believers in superstition. And so the student, to his credit, he was a 15-year-old student then 4 years ago. He's now 19. Chad Farnan, he went to court over this because apparently the Constitution is taken to mean by the courts that the First Amendment, and what is called the Establishment Clause, it's taken to mean for decades now that the government cannot promote or denigrate religion, that it has to be neutral. Now, that's a subject in and of itself. Jesus said that if you are not for me, you're against me. If you're not for me, you're against me. So on matters of fundamental morality, on principles, on the existence of God, it's not possible to be neutral. Like fundamental morality, if you're living in Germany in the 1930s and there's a surging hatred of the Jews, and then it becomes a public policy that they're being rounded up and killed, and you say that you're neutral, is it possible to be moral and to be neutral? No, it's not. So Jesus said, if you're not for me, you are against me. If you're not for me, you're against me. So to the extent that a government attempts to be neutral regarding Jesus Christ, regarding a creator God, regarding morality, to that extent, the government is being immoral. You don't have that latitude. You don't have that luxury to say, well, you know, when it comes to right and wrong, I don't have a position. You do have a position. Your position is apathy, and God does not allow us to take that position without guilt, without responsibility, without culpability. All that wicked men need to succeed is for good men to do nothing. But you're not even a good man if you're saying, I don't know what's right and wrong about murder and stealing and adultery and whether or not we've evolved from animals or we're made in God's image. I don't know. I'm neutral. You're not neutral. So Jesus did not allow for a neutral position. In fact, he provoked people to make a determination on him. He provoked people. So that, of course, whenever we get into discussions, we try to understand current events and court decisions, public policy, all these many issues that, of course, are relevant to our Christian faith. If you're a Christian, I hope you are. If you're not, please consider that Jesus Christ is your creator. He is your God. He came to save you, to die on the cross. He was raised from the dead. He paid the penalty for your sin, and if you trust in him, you will be forgiven. And if you say, I don't need him, he will not force himself on you, and then he will be your judge on Judgment Day. So you will stand before him face to face. So please consider all that he has done for you and his effort to save you after we've all rebelled against him. Please consider that. But for those of us, most of us in this audience, in this show, Bob and Your Live, most of us are Christians. And so what we have to realize when we try to assess current events is not whether something is consistent or not with the Constitution. That is extremely secondary. On Wednesday, we'll have an attorney on, an out-of-state attorney, who disagrees with some of our positions that we take on abortion and the rights of states. And he argues for states' rights that it's up to a state to decide whether or not to decriminalize the killing of innocent children. And so that should be interesting. We should have an interesting conversation about that. And many, in my experience over the years, many Christian pro-lifers who take that position, they try to argue it from the basis of what the Constitution says, and that's only relevant in a very secondary way. Because when we're dealing with matters of right and wrong, these matters did not spring into existence with George Washington or Thomas Jefferson or Alexander Hamilton. These matters did not spring into existence at that moment, and nations around the world are guilty or not guilty, governments and the public, of the shedding of innocent blood, regardless of what their own laws say. And human laws contradict one another. There are different kinds of laws all over the world. And so what is especially relevant is, what does God think about a matter? We'll go to the phones here in just a moment. 1-800-8-NYARDS, 1-800-836-9278. But this three-judge panel of the 9th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals, they ruled against the student and for the teacher who was overtly, I mean, it was recorded. It was recorded and the transcript was used in court that this teacher was overtly hostile to the belief in a creator God, that is nonsense. And that's superstition. And what's interesting is the court bent over backwards to say, you know, the teacher, we can't be overly burdensome on the teacher's ability to teach. Well, just imagine if the teacher was teaching that there is a creator God, right? You think the court would have said the same thing? No, of course not. So their argument is basically a lie. It's a scam. But we, of course, will hear conservatives, Republicans, Christians, criticizing the judges and Obama as though he had anything to do with it, and saying we need more Republican judges. And so I looked up in this three-judge panel, the Chief Justice of the panel, the Chief Justice was appointed by a Republican, was nominated by a Republican president. And this is not unusual. When the Ninth Circuit ruled that Under God was unconstitutional in the Pledge of Allegiance, the judge who wrote that ruling, the three-judge panel, the one who wrote the decision was a Republican judge nominated by a Republican president. In Dover, Pennsylvania, the intelligent design creation case a few years back, where the judge, the federal judge, was so grotesquely hostile to Christians and to the belief in a creator God, he was nominated to the federal bench by George W. Bush. And we do this here at Bob and Yurt Live. We notice that overwhelmingly these horrendous judges have been put on the bench by Republican presidents, and quite often by the Republican presidents you have voted for. So we have to be honest with reality around us and not dysfunctional. Let's go to the phones, 1-800-8-NYARDS, 1-800-836-9278. In Utah, St. George, Utah, Darren, welcome to Bob and Yurt Live.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Appreciate it.
Sure.
I'm one of these wacky guys trying to get into the schools to just present the science behind creation.
Well, fabulous, Darren.
And
congratulations for trying that. Good luck. But
well, that's it, exactly.
Yeah.
I'm not having a lot of luck. I'm finding more willingness at the college level than I am the public school level.
Yeah.
I've got a creation question that I'd like to ask you. But
well,
as
you're
far
right
as getting
on,
into
hey, Darren,
the school,
Darren, you're right on topic because of our discussion today about this Ninth Circuit Court in California that ruled against this public school student who was a sophomore at the time. And he's going to a typical California high school, Capistrano Valley High School in Mission Viejo. And the teacher He's not even a science teacher. He's a history teacher. And he just starts lambasting people who believe in God. If you believe in a creator, it's nonsense and you're superstitious. Mm-hmm. And back in 1994, there was a biology teacher who said, you know, I'd like to teach creation. Can I do that? And the Ninth Circuit ruled that he had to be neutral. He could not do that. So isn't it funny when here we are, you know, 17 years later, and the Ninth Circuit rules, oh, of course the teacher could mock creationism. He doesn't have to be neutral. So they say he has to be neutral when he wants to teach creation, but he doesn't have to be when he wants to mock God.
And here I am in one of the most conservative states in the Union, Utah, you know, just having a hard time getting in to the schools to present this. And I took I gave my presentation on DVD form to the superintendent of the schools, and you know, he said he'd look at it, but he it wasn't promising at all.
Right.
Because we got to stick with the curriculum, the core curriculum, and we can't waver from that.
Yeah. Well, you know? For one thing, it helps, Darren, if you could get yourself invited into a classroom or into a school by an individual, by a teacher, or by a student club.
Right.
So
Well, that's what I'm planning on doing, is going to all the different high schools around here and just give a copy of the DVD to all the science teachers. And see if I might get a bite. Who knows?
Well, why don't you give a copy of the DVD to Real Science Friday? Williams and that other guy.
I'd love to send you a copy. I'll do that.
Yeah.
I've ordered stuff from you guys before. So.
Well, we'd like to preview it. So why don't we change our topic a little bit? You know, saving kids in the public schools is a really good thing to try to do. Saving the public schools is not a possible thing. It's not possible. So, but saving kids in the schools is a great thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
So, let's broaden the discussion to creationism itself. What do you attempt if you're able to get before a public school class? What would you present to them?
Well, the first half of it, I present geology and all the evidence for a young Earth, not all the evidence, but some of the evidence for a young Earth. And then I go the second half, I switch into biology. Okay, now what does all of this fossil life that we just found tell us?
Hmm.
What was life like on this planet years ago? Things have not changed.
Hmm.
Whales were whales and...
Shrimp were cows
shrimp. Cows were cows. Yeah, you know.
Yeah, the Willamy pine tree was a Willamy pine tree.
Right, right.
Yeah, the stasis, the amount of stasis in the fossil record where the creatures have stayed the same is overwhelming.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that, you know, they talk about the age of reptiles and the age of dinosaurs, and that 432 mammal species have been found in the fossil record, in the same layers with dinosaur bones. And so that to call it the age of reptiles is not really accurate.
Right. Exactly.
To have 400 mammal species, different species, and they've even found a mammal with a dinosaur in its stomach, that a mammal ate a dinosaur.
Mm-hmm.
So, but the museums, they don't like to show that, right? The museums?
Can I throw a question at you?
Yeah, sure.
All right. This goes to the dating of rocks, not carbon dating, but isotope dating.
Right. Radiometric dating.
Yeah.
Like, we don't use carbon-14 dating because that only lasts for thousands of years.
Right.
But potassium, argon, uranium, strontium, these different methods we can
use. Now, whenever they date a rock of known age, it seems they always come up with a date that's much, much older than it actually is, than what we know it is.
Right, like volcanic flows in Maui from 1801 that date to be 300,000 years old or 2 million years old.
Right.
Right.
assuming, if we were to, if we just assume that all rocks are, say, 7,000 years old or less, is there any radiometric dating processes that is capable of dating a rock that young? Or will they all give false old ages?
Well, when you look at the origin of radioactivity on the Earth, on the crust of the Earth, that is a fascinating topic because there's good reason to believe that there was not radioactive decay when God created the Earth, and the surface of the Earth was a paradise. And so when elements decay, they shoot out particles. You know, it's been some years since I've read some basic physics, but alpha particles, beta particles, and these things do damage to chromosomes. And so you have a pregnant mom, and if she's near, say, uranium in the ground, and it's decaying, then her baby can have a birth defect that could be, you know, harmful or fatal, lethal. And so when
mutations are good, though.
Yeah, mutations. Right. Mutations are good until the evolutionist finds out that their child has a mutation.
Exactly.
Then they don't like them at all. Then they know that they're bad. But so when God created Adam and Eve and put them in the Garden of Eden and told them to be fruitful and multiply, do you think there was radioactive decay on the crust of the Earth? Or do you think probably not?
Yeah, I don't know. I really don't know.
All right. Well, I suggest a wonderful paper on that topic by Dr. Walt Brown on the origin of the Earth's radioactivity.
Okay.
It's just absolutely tremendous.
Well, I'm just wondering, is it... What I'm trying to pin an evolution, an old Earth person down with is this. If indeed every rock on this Earth is 7,000 years old or less,
right.
do you have a process that will give that correct age?
Well, I think so. For example, in zircon crystals, there's a process of radioactive decay. In a daughter element of that process, when elements are becoming other elements because they're decaying, a daughter product is helium.
Right.
And helium, the retention in zircon crystals of helium, could be evaluated very carefully. And there are different predictions. If these zircon crystals are hundreds of millions of years old, the vast majority of helium, virtually all of it, will have found its way out of the crystal, because that's what helium does.
Right.
But if
right.
they're only, let's say, 4,000 years old, then they will have retained most of their helium. And so creationists have published on this topic in advance of running the numbers, of getting some of the world's leading laboratories, high-precision laboratories, to do the test. And so they've published, for example, the Creation Research Society and ICR, Institute for Creation Research, along with other creation ministries, and they've published if these zircon crystals are hundreds of millions of years old or a billion years old, here's how much helium they will have. But if they're only thousands of years old, created when God made the earth, as according to Moses and Jesus in the Bible, in the book of Genesis, then they're going to have this much helium in them. And so now let's send them off to a lab and get the results. And the results track the prediction of the creationist overwhelmingly.
Right.
So there's a contradiction in the zircon crystal. There's
exactly.
a contradiction. There's way too much helium for the amount of daughter element for radioactive decay.
Right.
So what's going on? So something happened a few thousand years ago that caused a tremendous amount of rapid radioactive decay. And we know that. For example, you even with carbon-14, you use it on frozen mammoths, and you do carbon-14 of their front legs and their back legs,
right.
and you get wildly discordant results.
Right.
So why would that be? I mean, didn't his front legs grow at the same time his back legs grew?
Mm-hmm.
Of course they did. So there's something going on, and I really recommend at creationscience.com if you
I go there all the time.
Super, uh-huh. Darren. Have you read, and this is new, Dr. Walt Brown, I'm honored to be in, you know, frequent contact with him, and when he has a new chapter for his book, I get to read it a couple years before it's published, and I have a lot of interaction with him, and I'm not a scientist. He is wonderfully credentialed, but I read it like an amateur, and I say, Walt, I don't understand this part. What's your point? And so he's wonderful to take those kinds of requests to make it more readable. And he has a chapter brand new called The Origin of Earth's Radioactivity. I've read through this back a couple years now, and it's just tremendous.
So is that going to be in the new version, the ninth edition of his book?
Ninth edition, if the ninth edition comes out, it sure will be. But it is right now. The ninth edition is basically online. The eighth edition is tremendous.
Right.
So I would never recommend to somebody wait for the next edition. We sell Walt Brown's in the beginning here, beautiful hard-covered, full-color book, just beautiful. Yeah, you got it. I mean, I've read through it twice, and we use it with our kids. Mm-hmm. We open it up, and Walt is a teacher. He's a teacher. He knows how to teach science and how to honor God.
I've noticed in the front of his book, he you know, makes the offer to give him a call if you have a teacher that's arguing with you, that you can actually call him.
Right.
I haven't tried that yet. I mean, does he actually answer his own phone?
Well, he has a staff, a small staff. We've been at his den, his office. In fact, our boys have gone swimming in his pool, in his backyard. But he has a small staff. But yes, if you have a public school science teacher on the line, he will get on the line and answer their questions.
That's great.
Yeah, he's extraordinary.
All right.
He's a national treasure.
Yes, absolutely. Oh, thank you so much. I've got lots more questions, but I will call another day and ask you some more.
All right, Darren. Thank you.
Thanks so much.
May God bless you.
Thank you. I've got all the Real Science Friday downloads on my MP3 player, and I'm listening to them.
They're really fun, aren't they?
I love them.
It's just a great joy to do those shows. Thank you, Darren.
God bless you. Thanks.
Appreciate that. Our number here, 1-800-8-NYARTS, 1-800-836-9278. So this three-judge panel of the Ninth Circuit, they rule against the student and for the teacher. I mean, they're not punishing the teacher. They're not censuring the teacher. They're defending him. And you should hear their reasoning, which is just so bizarre. And the fact that the Chief Justice of this panel is a Republican presidential nominee it's not surprising to me. Is it surprising to you? The federal judiciary, now, right when George W. Bush stepped out of office, he's done with his 8 years, the Republicans had put 60%, over 60% of the federal judiciary on the bench, and the federal courts are overwhelmingly hostile to Christianity, to creation, to the pro-life movement, overwhelmingly pro-abortion and pro-homosexual, and this is after 30 years of Christians electing pro-life Republican presidents because the courts are so important. And it's the U.S. Supreme Court that gave us Roe v. Wade, and that was a Republican court, 7 of the 9, and it was a Republican majority that passed Roe v. Wade, and it was a Republican justice who wrote Roe v. Wade, Harry Blackmun. And it's been a Republican court ever since Roe v. Wade, and they keep abortion as firmly entrenched in our land as they can. So we have to wake up when we're told, more than anything else, we gotta get Obama out of office. That's being afraid of the boogeyman, and you'll put somebody in office who's worse. Let's go to Western Nebraska. Wayne, welcome to Bob and Yurt Live.
Yeah, Bob, I was the guy who called about that telescope thing.
All right, well, thanks for calling back. What's up?
Yeah, I think I got an answer for this.
Yeah.
No proof, but just an answer.
Yeah.
Process of analyzing and what people have said, what people have found, what people have proved. It has to do with harmonics. You know, this Earth, there's several dimensions out there, and they're all in harmonics.
Yeah.
The higher vibration, the higher, the more perfect things are. And you said that there wasn't any radiation during Adam's day.
Right.
Well, what about it says when God cursed the ground? And this is what I wrote.
Right.
Radiation came to be. The lower harmonics releases radiation. Now, that's like iron. If iron was a higher harmonics, it wouldn't rust. Now, gold is the only thing that transcends all dimensions.
All right. Hey, Wayne.
What?
I think you're making this all up as you go along.
No, I'm not.
I think you are. And it's not that it's not interesting to listen to.
I know.
But I think you're making it all up. And I don't think there was radioactivity on Earth after the fall. I think when Adam and Eve sinned.
Well, it was either there before the fall or it was there after the fall.
Well,
one of the two, wasn't it?
No, I mean not immediately after the fall. When Adam and Eve sinned and the ground was cursed and Adam had to toil and sweat to provide for himself and his family, there were changes. I don't believe radioactivity was one of those changes. That happened later. That happened at the time of the global flood. And Wayne, Dr. Walt Brown, in his chapter on the origin of Earth's radioactivity, he takes actual experiments, actual provable physical phenomenon, things that we know happen because they've been done 1,000 times over, and he shows how during the global flood, that would be the origin of Earth's radioactivity. It's actually demonstrable.
Okay, that's possible too, but I'm just trying to tell you,
yeah,
the higher the harmonics is, the more pure, the more perfect matter is. And there's more than one dimension. We can go into a higher harmonics, a higher dimension. And even the spirit realm is in a higher vibration.
And you're saying that you're not making this up as you go along?
No.
In other words, you've done experiments to show that angels vibrate at a higher...
I'm going by, Bob, what other people have already talked about.
All right.
And some have proven.
Hey, Wayne, thank you.
Yeah.
Wayne, there's the music. Wayne, thank you very much for calling in. When we meet Gabriel and Michael, the archangels, you and I together, if we get the chance, we could ask them what frequency they vibrate at. And if you're right, I'll take you for coffee in heaven. God bless you, Wayne.
Yeah.